Well, may the Lord bless each of you for the effort you've made to come this morning. Lord, thank you for what you've invested in the service this far, in studying your Sunday school lesson, in preparing your heart, and preparing for this time to gather. May the Lord reward you. My mind goes back about 52 years ago, when I was 13 and probably sitting here on the front bench, when we got the shocking and very tragic news that Floyd Miller, age 20, who was in voluntary service at the time, drowned while he was swimming with friends in the ocean. Apparently, he got too far away from the beach, and the undercurrent swept him in, and he couldn't recover from that. That was a great loss. He was a member of the church. He was active in the youth group. Floyd was someone that I looked up to and admired and respected. He made things happen when guys got together. I clearly remember the text that David L. spoke from on the Sunday after Floyd's death, even though this happened quite some time ago. The text was from 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The message was an encouragement for young men to be strong. Encouragement for men to discover the abiding presence of the Word of God and through that receive strength and power. And it significantly impacted me, and I've chosen to entitle the message this morning, Growing Stronger in 2017. How do we grow stronger in the Christian life? How does it happen, or how does it occur? Is it the result of conscious effort, or is it a byproduct, or is it a natural result? I'm not sure how all this happens. I do know that the Apostle Paul admonished Timothy, and he said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so if you're going to be a young man who becomes strong in the Lord and grows, then you won't get tangled up with doing things that are less than your calling as a soldier of Jesus Christ. The message today is twofold. I want to encourage the strength that comes from personal growth and inner transformation that comes by immersion in the Word of God. The second purpose I will come to later. As we begin the new year, of course, we set goals, we set personal targets. I appreciate and enjoyed the opening by Loyal. Thought it was very, very appropriate. One of the goals that helped me as a young person was to set goals for scripture reading. And I think that is good for us at any age. But I think for me that was formative and helpful. I know it was laborious and difficult to read through some of the through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and some of those scriptures. But I found that if I had a plan where I read some in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament, then it wasn't quite as difficult to get through. And I think it would be good to come up with a plan, even as simple as perhaps deciding to read through the New Testament in 2017, if you don't think you can make it through the entire Bible, or see what it takes to get through in a year. Sometimes reading through in a chronological Bible is interesting and helpful, and then be read through in one translation one year and another translation in another year. And of course, I had the habit of and for a number of years I would read through once a year, and then one time I went on a trip with a nephew of mine, and then he challenged me and he said, well, now, you know, some people think that you should read through the Bible once a year. He said, well, why not read through the Bible in 90 days? And it was kind of like, well, now that would take quite a while. And so I tried some of this to read through Scripture in a shorter period of time. And it's interesting how different that seems. And so I don't want to put too much emphasis on reading through the Bible in a year, when maybe you should be doing in 6 months or in 90 days, whatever the case may be. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And there are other ways that I think that we can also grow. In our family devotions right now, Rebecca and I are going through the book by Dallas Willard and Jan Johnson entitled Renovation of the Heart in Daily Practice. And if those of you who recognize Dallas Willard's writings know that he's pretty deep and it's kind of hard to dissect it all. Well, this is divided into 61 chapters. And after each section, then Jan Johnson explains how you can put to work or put to practice what Dallas has said. If this book was first recommended at the Shepherd's Institute 2 years ago by Milo Zayer as a good way to work on inner transformation, and it is a rich resource. It's full of scripture, which helps make it a very practical something for us to use. You see, 1 Peter talked about our need for the word. He said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So Peter was saying that we should long for milk, just as for a young child, a baby. Survival depends on being able to get that milk, get the nourishment that's needed. And that's what we need if we're going to survive as Christians ourselves. We need the sincere milk of the word. Or we might be in a situation a bit like the Apostle Paul addressed to the Galatians. He was frustrated because they were slipping back into bondage. They were not experiencing the freedom in Christ that they could have had. And he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ wanted to see, Paul wanted to see the life of Christ formed in each of the believers. So if we just take a few snatches out of Galatians 4, we'll read the following. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so the end is not just to read the word, but to bring us into sonship, where we cry, Abba, Father, you are the one who can help. But Paul was disturbed and concerned because they were turning again to the weak and beggarly elements. And he says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And he says, my little children, I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We have the scriptures in Romans, where it talks about how that it makes a difference in how what our focus is, where we set our minds to. Romans 8:5 in ESV. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the thing of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so, as we're indicating here, the purpose of spending time in the Word is not an end goal in itself, but the purpose is to bring us into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus, the relationship that is life-giving through the power of the resurrection. How do you express consideration or love for another person? For example, when they're talking to you. If they're talking to you and you kind of look the other way or don't pay attention to what you're saying, that's interpreted as not caring very much, right? I'm thinking about, in my mind, I have the scene right now of two young lovers, and they virtually hang on each word that is said. And I think that's how the Lord wants to bring us into relationship with him. We hang on to each word. We listen carefully. We demonstrate love for Jesus when we care about his word and we pay attention to it. And paying attention to it brings cleansing. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then what happens for us is, as is stated in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed by beholding him. Thanks for making sure everybody looks up here. Yeah, okay. That is how change happens, is changed by beholding him. Proverbs says the glory of young men is their strength. And maybe I shouldn't have been using the masculine term here. I'm also interested in there being women of strength. But Proverbs 20:29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. So as we think a bit about some of the things that we've been thinking about here, remember these admonitions. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And how Paul so clearly wanted the Galatians to see Christ formed in them. Secondly, for the second part of the message here, I would like to share just a little bit of my journey of the past 13 years since my deacon ordination. There were perhaps a few of you who are just maybe a little bit surprised here several weeks ago when this announcement was made. In consideration of present and future congregational needs, we ministers propose a deacon ordination in the spring of 2017 and bishop ordination later in the same year. We were gone that Sunday, and when we returned, I was asked, well, how do you feel about this? And so I felt constrained to just to give you a bit of my story. And in some ways, this may feel like kind of a long answer to a simple question. And I've also struggled with putting this together, and my struggle with putting this together wasn't particularly helped on Friday afternoon when I did a large cut and paste to move this section to another place in the message, and when I hit the Control V, it didn't paste. It cut, but it didn't paste. And I got to wondering, well, let's see, Lord, do you really want me to talk about this, or don't you? And so it feels a bit like stepping into a bit of a minefield. But part of what I'm interested in is to start dialogue and discussion and thought about the upcoming deacon ordination. And I will also say that I later realized that I had printed off some notes that I could go back to that helped me a little bit. And so don't feel too sorry for me. It was my own doing, my own problem. I'd like to go back and I will say this feels a little bit like stepping through a minefield, and I'm going to invite feedback and clarification from my fellow ministers. We want to be open and clear and balanced in what we say. But as I think back to about 13 or 14 years ago, I did not feel that I was a good or even a likely candidate for the upcoming deacon ordination. I was pretty sure that I was too old. It was difficult for me to speak in public. Not very good at remembering details or telling stories. And furthermore, beset with the age-old difficulty in being able to remember names. And that's a very embarrassing problem to have, especially in public. So I thought, well, not much chance. Well, that's not the way it worked out, obviously. And I'm thinking now to the night of the ordination. There was a friend who had been ordained several years earlier who gave me some words of encouragement. As had many others, this friend had a heart of gold, but he was very shy. And he said to me, now, when you come home, you look up 1 Timothy 1:12. And so, tired and exhausted from the day after I was home, I looked up 1 Timothy 1:12. And it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." It was a wonderful blessing and encouragement to me. And what I find intriguing about this is that the Apostle Paul was grateful that God had placed him into the ministry, not because of his high credentials, but because he had experienced God's mercy for his sinful past. And he was experiencing the great abundance of God's grace that was at work in his life. See, Paul said, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." You see these themes coming through? God's grace was working in him, and that brought about fruitfulness, the fruit of faith and of love. He says further, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And the Apostle Paul was concerned that God receives the honor and the glory for anything good that happens. And about this point, when I think of local examples, I can hear Brother Amos saying, "To God be the glory." And that's what we want. See, Paul struggled with the infirmity of the flesh, which we don't know for sure what it was. But he heard the Lord say to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I believe that the Lord wants us to operate out of our weakness so that he can be our strength, and so that we know that it's for sure from him. As I mentioned earlier, Paul was grateful for God's mercy for his sinful past. And my mind goes back to another scene that involved David L. and the rest of the ministerial team. I remember Rebecca and myself meeting with the ministers in David L.'s living room. We were there meeting the day before the ordination, and we were there to have an interview to determine eligibility to be in the lot, or if there would be reasons why we should not be in the lot. And I have things in my hall of shame. At that time, I was carrying a lot of heavy financial obligations in our business, which is commonly referred to as debt. And I was also concerned about whether the sins of my youth would disqualify me for serving as a candidate in this ordination. I had also prior to that received some counseling to address those issues, as well as help for our marriage. And I wasn't sure that some of this would all align ideologically with the current leadership. But you know, there was a real freedom that came from being open about those things and subjecting myself to the counsel of the group. See, one of the reasons for having a deacon ordination at that time was that Ronald was relocating to Labette County, and I guess probably one of not very many times that one of our ministers helps to start another congregation, although there have been those, but we haven't overdone that kind of thing. And I would say that I was in favor of seeing the church's needs being provided for. As a layperson, I wanted to see adequate personnel that helps to meet the needs of the church. But my thinking was also heavily influenced from something that I had observed as a young person. And I won't say that I saw or analyzed this situation all perfectly, but it was formative for me. And that was that I had seen the Zion congregation in Oklahoma suffer, I think possibly in part due to a lack of appropriate leadership succession. So if we jump back 50 years or so, we could say that Bishop Dave Miller was an effective evangelist in his time. And I used to enjoy his colorful, his power-packed sermons. And he kept my attention. But he aged, as all of us do. And I remember later hearing him preach when he was no longer able to stand behind the pulpit. And so a chair was provided for him to sit on to preach from. And it was obvious that he was not only declining physically, but also mentally. And I felt very sorry for the women and children who, it seemed to me, were not being nurtured adequately. And I know that when a lead pastor fails to succeed himself, the situation can become extremely difficult and knotty. But there was one question that I just couldn't find an answer to. And I kept asking this question as I looked around at the men in the congregation. You know, I saw men that I admired and men that I thought had pastoral giftings or potential. And I kept wondering, is there not someone here who is willing to do what needs to be done in order that the needs of the congregation can be met, especially for the women and children's sake? And I'm thinking about the scripture in Ezekiel that says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land. Verse closes by saying, but I found none. And so I don't want to be critical of Dave. It's not easy to arrange to succeed oneself. And from what I have observed and read, it is more difficult to lay down the mantle than it is to put it on. But there comes a time when we need to do what is best for the church. Or we could say the team. I just really appreciated Gary's message last week on teamwork and how we should work together as a team. And I believe that we as a church want to work together as a team. And so sometimes exercising leadership for the good of the whole body can be very uncomfortable and very stretching. You know, and leadership is not nearly as glamorous and as exciting as I had visualized it to be when I was your age. When I was younger, I thought it would be great to be able to call the shots and people would just do what you told them to do. But somehow things just didn't quite seem to look that way as I got older and got more involved. But I will say that it is wonderful to be a part of a church body that cares and that prays, and that prays for the Lord's grace to work through our lives so that we can function. How else would we function? We couldn't, David, could we? That's how we function. We function through the prayers that are offered on our behalf. And that, for that, I am so grateful. So, how do I feel about an upcoming deacon ordination? Well, I'm thoughtful, but I'm excited. There have been a number of times in the past weeks when I've had those aha moments, and I've thought to myself, that brother would make a good deacon. And I'm so grateful for the gifted men that we have among us. And as I think back to a number of years ago, before my ordination, I was in a time of life when I was thinking that surely there has got to be more than just making money and paying bills. And there was a sense in which, even though it was a big responsibility, I was grateful for the opportunity to have permission to be involved with people in some of the ways that the Lord has brought us so much joy in being involved with you and with people. So I'm grateful for the opportunities that have been given to me, for the grace and the encouragement that has been extended to me. And so as we move forward in the coming months, I would like to encourage dialogue. I would like to encourage a willingness to grapple with the call of God for the team. So let's dare to talk. You see, now, discomfort, I should tell you, is not all one-sided in this regard. You see, from my vantage point, as we look at the qualifications of a deacon, as we look at the responsibilities given in Scripture, and we focus and we think about those things, then we see how far we fall short of measuring up to what Scripture asks for. And so it's not all about comfort. And I guess I can about, at this point, perhaps hear some of those, my brothers on the deacon committee say that, well, yeah, you've also told us that. Sometimes when there's a job that needs to be done, I might say, well, it's not about comfort. It's about getting the job done or doing what the Lord wants to do in us. So I anticipate the Lord's working in our hearts. And I believe that God wants to prepare not only men, but I think he wants to prepare wives. And he wants to prepare families as we seek to embrace and move through the changes that the Lord that the Lord has for us. Let's commit ourselves to immersion in the Word, committing ourselves to growing stronger in Him, growing and becoming changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus from the inside out. As we remember that resurrection power is available as we see Him who is the living Word, let us have the mind of Christ. Let us be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let us not rest till Christ be formed in us. I will invite your feedback. This is just to open the discussion. May the Lord be honored, shall we pray. Shall we kneel for prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We surrender our wills to you. And we just ask that your will be accomplished here on earth as it is in heaven. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to work within each of our hearts to surrender to what you have for us. Make us willing to be and to become changed from the inside out, to become the persons that you want us to be, so that we may see your glory and accomplish your purposes, so that we may see faithful men appointed who will have the ability to teach others also, and that we would move forward as a church in accomplishing your mission here on earth. Lord, we just recognize that we're too small to accomplish this mission on our own, and so we just ask that you would help us as a body to work together to accomplish your plan and your purpose here. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the great provider, and we just want you to receive all the glory and the honor. We ask that you would help us to walk with you and understand your will and your way, that you would help us to humbly acknowledge that whatever we have, we have received from you, and it will all ultimately go back to you. To you will be the honor and the glory through Jesus. Amen.